Okay, the big Galatians quiz. Who loves a quiz? Oh, a quiz! A quiz! I love to win a quiz! It's not about taking part, it's about beating everybody else. Of course it is, isn't it? We say that. No, it's lovely to take part, but no, we want to thrash everybody else. It'll just get you in the Christmas mood for all those lovely family games you're going to play. Who hates a quiz? Just be honest about it. I know there's a few who really, really hate a quiz. And if I told you a quiz, there's some people who wouldn't have been here this morning. I didn't realize that. And I know. I don't know. So, here is, and some people, this is a quiz on some of the things that we've been doing over, let me just pass these things around. Let me give some that way and that way. You can do it on your own. You can do it as a couple. You can do it as friends. You can do it with people that you've never met before and just sit next to you. You can do it however you like. You don't even need to do it at all. There you are. We'll liberate you from that. You don't need to do it. If you don't do it, you don't win the prize. And the prize is... would you guess? Would you believe it? A bag. I think you actually get more in this than you get in a tin. It's quite cheaper as well. Anyway... there we are. There is some. That's the prize. We'll put the prize down there. And we have 14 questions on Galatians. So the point is this morning, we're going to go through this quiz. Most of them are multiple choice. I'm not going to make it too tricky for you. Have a look. Put some answers down. And then at the end, we'll count up the score, see who wins. You get celebrations. That's kind of the way it works if you don't want to do it. If you haven't been here thinking, I haven't got a clue, then you're probably at no disadvantage to anybody else. So... let's start at the very beginning. Quiz on Galatians. Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia. Am I going to start with question one? Of course. Oh, you'll need a pen or a pencil or a crayon or whatever you've got. If you haven't got one, maybe somebody next to you has got a nice pen or something they can lend you. If it's a really nice pen, maybe you don't need to hand it back at the end. Keep it. So, like, I don't know. Has everybody got a piece of paper? Should be plenty to go around. Are they still coming round? Okay, well, let's wait just a moment. I haven't done a quiz for a long, long time, and some of you are thinking, oh, haven't missed that at all. Let me say up front, the reason for the quiz is not so much the quiz. It's so that we can go through some of the great things that we've encountered in Galatians. So that's the purpose. I realize that some of you are thinking, oh, no, it's not. No, it's not. It's the quiz and it's the chocolate. It's the prize. That's fine. Okay. As you wish. Has everybody got a piece of paper? A friend, by yourself, whatever you want to do, however. Here we go then. Question number one. What phrase, right at the very start, did George use to describe the letter to the Galatians? I'm going to give you options. I'm not going to make this too difficult for you, okay? Did he say, yes, yes, yes? Did he say, no, no, no? Or did he say, maybe, maybe, maybe? Which was it? Which phrase did he use to describe this letter? To summarize what Paul was trying to say in this letter. What did he say? Nice and straightforward for number one. Okay, question number two. What is the gospel? Is it God loves you? Is it there is hope? Or is it the message of Jesus Christ? Okay, I'm going to move on straight on to here. How do we enter into new life with Christ? Do we? Is it by saying sorry to God for all our sins and promising to do better in future? Is it by obeying the Christian rules? And there's loads of those. Oh boy, there's loads of Christian rules. Or is it by placing our faith in Christ? Which one is it? A, B, or C? How do we enter into new life with Christ? Okay, I'm just going to keep moving on here because hopefully you should get an answer fairly quickly, right or wrong. What Old Testament person did Paul refer to as an example of faith? Was it Abraham? Was it Moses? Or was it Hagar? Abraham, Moses, or Hagar? I don't mind if you open your Bibles and look at Galatians. That's all to the benefit. If you want to read through and find the answers, this is an open book exam. You can do that, no problem. Abraham, Moses, or Hagar? Number five, what does justification mean? You remember this? This came from the 10 questions, I think, that George gave us, things we should remember. Does it mean A, being pardoned of my sin? Does it mean B, being forgiven? Or does it mean C, being declared righteous? Which one is it? Being pardoned of my sin, being forgiven, or being declared righteous? Okay. What does justification mean? One of these big terms. It's great to learn some of these terms that appear sometimes. Justification is one of those. Good to know what it means. Okay, number 6. What does the Latin term, fancy, sola fide, the great cry of the Reformation mean? What does sola fide mean? Does it mean A, only works? Does it mean B, only faith? Or does it mean C, only law? Which one does it mean? Sola fide. Number 7, what was the major purpose of the law? We're talking about the Old Testament law, the Mosaic law, Mount Sinai, all that kind of thing. Okay. A, to make sure God's people behaved well. B, to punish lawbreakers, or C, to show man's inability to make himself righteous. Which would you say was closest to that? I mean, this is summarizing something which is pretty big, I appreciate here, but A, B, or C, which is it going to be? Number 8, sons, not slaves. Name one of the four blessings. We talked about being what it is to being a son, not a slave. There were four blessings. They all began with the letter F. Name one of them. For 1 point. If you want to name 2, you still get 1 point. If you want to name 3, you still get 1 point. If you want to name 4, you still get 1 point. But you can be really smug. They all began with F. Name one of the four blessings we talked about to being a son of God or a daughter of God, although a son has the first inheritance, it's really son, or a child of God if you want to be that way. Sons, not slaves, name one of the four blessings. Okay, I'm going to move on while you're thinking of those, going all through all the words that begin with F, trying to find the appropriate one. 3 ways we can walk as believers. We can walk in the way of legalism, we can walk the way of license, or we can walk the way of L. Starts with L. L. Question mark. What could it be? What could it be? I wonder. Number 10, do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh, says Paul. What does Paul mean here by the flesh? What is he talking about? What does Paul mean here by the flesh? I think George gave 4 meanings. George is at an advantage here, of course. But he gave 4 meanings in the biblical meanings of the word flesh. And there's one particular one that comes out in here. Number 11, what does Paul contrast with the gratifying the desires of the flesh? What does he say? Okay, you can do that or you can do something else, which he recommends. What does Paul contrast with gratifying the desires of the flesh? Number 11, okay, I'm going to number 12. We are to do good to all people, says Paul. But especially to whom? I wasn't sure if it was who or whom there. I'm not sure of my English grammar. I've gone for whom. It didn't correct me. But especially to whom? We are to do good to all people, but especially to whom? Who are we supposed to be especially good to? Grampus, that's exactly. Yes. Number 12, there we are. Who are we especially good to? Number 13, principles of sowing and reaping. This wasn't very long ago. If you're struggling with other ones that were a long time ago, this is only 2 weeks ago. George gave 4 principles. Here's 2 of them. You can choose what you boop, but you can't choose what you boop. Fill in the blanks. You can choose what you boop, but you can't choose what you boop. Okay, and the very last question. What did I die to when I placed my faith in Christ? What did you die to? What does one die to when one places one faith in Christ? I know it, I know it. It's on the tip of my tongue. I know it, it's there. Okay, that's the 14 questions. Nobody said, oh, wait a minute, hold on. They weren't. I didn't say they were all multiple choice. I lulled you into a false sense of well-being and security, saying they were multiple choice, and then threw some curveballs in there where you really had to think. I'm sorry about that. No, I'm not really sorry. I'm not sorry. Just go through them quickly. You want to go through? Okay. Okay, we're going. What phrase did George use to describe the letter to the Galatians? Yes, yes, yes. No, no, no. Maybe, maybe, maybe. What is the gospel? Is this quick enough for you? Is this okay? Great. What is the gospel? God loves you. There is hope. The message of Jesus Christ. How do we enter into new life with Christ is number three. A, by saying sorry to God for all that is in the world. By obeying the Christian rules or by placing faith in Christ. Number three there. Okay. Tell me to stop if I'm going too fast. Number four, what Old Testament person did Paul write in the name of faith? Is it Abraham? Moses? Hagar. What does justification mean? Being pardoned for my sin, being forgiven, being declared righteous. What does the Latin term sola fide, the great cry of the Reformation, mean? Only works, only faith, only law. What was the major purpose of the law? To make sure God's people behaved well, to punish lawbreakers, or C, to show man's inability to make himself righteous. Number eight, sons, not slaves, name one of the four blessings, all beginning with F. We can walk as believers three ways. We can walk the way of legalism, we can walk the way of license, or we can walk the way off. Boop. Number 10, do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. What does Paul mean here by the flesh? Number 11, what does Paul contrast with gratifying the desires of the flesh? What's the contrast he talks about? The alternative? We are to do good to all people, but especially to whom? Whom? Principles of sowing and reaping. You can choose what you... but you can't choose what you... Boop. And the last one, what did I die to when I placed my faith in Christ? Okay. Third time, can go through again? No. That's it, folks. Answers. Okay, here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go. Answers. What phrase did George use to describe the letter to the Galatians? It was? I can't hear you. Oh, yes, he did. Yes, okay. One point if you said no, no, no. No, no, no. Absolutely. No, no, no. This was the whole point of this thing. The principal message of this, the reason Paul writes this is because, as we've talked about so many times, Judaizers have come in, people who were Christians but still Jewish in their understanding, their background, were coming in and said, you need to add some stuff in here. You need to be circumcised. We need to have bits of the law in here. I mean, and Paul's saying, he's not just saying, oh, he's not just saying, he's saying, exactly, yes, that's the kind of passion he wants behind it. He says it's indignant and passionate. He even talks about people going and emasculating themselves, which I always think is quite shocking in Galatians, but Paul says it, and it's with a touch of humor, but it's passion behind it. I wish they would just go the whole way and emasculate themselves. His passionate defense of the gospel, which I think is really, really important and really key for us as we go through this letter. Okay, number two. What is the gospel? Is it A, God loves you, B, there is hope, or C, the message of Jesus Christ? Which one is it? It's all of them. Which one best describes it? C. Okay. C, the message of Jesus Christ. We need to remember that the gospel is all about Jesus Christ. I think it's really important for us as a church. You know, we do so much good to those around you. It's a message of God's love that we bring to so many people. It's quite clear that God loves you. It's quite clear that there is hope. But the gospel always is about Jesus Christ. And if we lose that, if we lose the sense that Jesus Christ is the center of it, then we lose a sense of what it is to be a church. We need to keep Christ at the center of everything. He needs to be our message. As soon as we remove Jesus Christ, we lose the power of the gospel. The gospel is a message of love. It's a message of sacrifice. It's a message of victory. It's a message of forgiveness and redemption and new life. But it's always, always, always centered on Jesus Christ. Okay, number three. How do we enter into new life with Christ? By saying sorry to God for all our sins and promising to do better in the future. B, by obeying Christian rules. Or C, by placing our faith in Christ. Which one do you reckon? We're going to go for C, by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. The whole thing is by faith. The Christian faith is radically different to all other religions. They're not a bunch of rules to follow, but a person to follow. By placing our faith in Jesus Christ, I think George said, it's 100% grace and 0% law. And that's the point that Paul's making here. It's 100% grace. It's not about what we do, but about what Jesus has done. As soon as we add something, we lose grace. As soon as it becomes about something that we do, we lose grace. It's all about placing our faith in Christ. Okay, number four. What Old Testament person did Paul refer to as an example of faith? Was it Abraham, B, Moses, or C, Hagar? A is Abraham, exactly. Believed God, it said, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Way back in Genesis, and we read God's promises. God appears to Abraham, promising him he'll be a father of a great nation, and all nations will be blessed through him. And so those, Paul says, who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. And he ties that whole thing, says the promise still stands. The Abrahamic promise still stands, and it's fulfilled in Christ, and it's brought to us, the church today. So, yeah, absolutely. Abraham is the right answer. What does justification mean? Does it mean being pardoned of my sin, being forgiven, or being declared righteous? Which one is it? C, being declared righteous. Absolutely correct. George said, a pardon is where we are sentenced but not punished. So it's not in any way like being pardoned. Forgiveness is where our sin is erased. And George mentioned that that's okay. That is true. That places the white slate is white clean. We are morally neutral. But it's much more than that. It's being declared righteous. The righteousness of Christ is credited to our account. I don't understand all that, but it's something incredible. The righteousness of Christ, positive righteousness, is given to us that we would become the righteousness of God. Wow. What does justification mean? Okay, number six. What does the Latin term sola fide, the great cry of the Reformation, mean? Is it only works, only faith, or only law? B is the correct answer. It is only faith, not faith and anything. It's not faith and works. It's not faith and laws. Coming back to that argument again that Paul says, it's all grace. It's by grace you have been saved, writes Paul in another letter, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Fabulous words. Okay, number seven. What was the major purpose of the law? Was it to make sure God's people behaved well? Was it to punish lawbreakers or to show man's inability to make himself righteous? Going for C. I think that's a good answer. It's a good answer. Now, of course, the law, the society was built around the law. So much of it was built around way to live. But the law made it clear to people, God's people, they couldn't keep it. And it made the way, opened the way for Christ to come, and our salvation by grace through faith is the only way. It made it just so obvious that we have a holy God and we are not. We need someone. We cannot do it for ourselves. Fabulous. Okay. Sons, not slaves. Name one of the four blessings of being a son of God. Freedom. We got freedom. Family. We got family. Faith. Favor, no. Future, forgiveness, no. We haven't got the fullness. Oh, yes, fullness, yes. One more. Forever. Oh, yes, fabulous. Freedom, family, fullness, forever. These were just my words. Obviously, they're not in Paul's letter. But we are set free from having to obey the rules. Our faith is not based on that. Our salvation is not based on us. We are set free from power of sin and death. We are invited into God's family. We get to sit at the table rather than serve at the table. We get to enjoy the fullness of everything God has from us, this banqueting table that God puts before us. And it's not just now, but it is forever. If you've got one of those, give yourself a point. If you've got four of them, give yourself a really smug slap on the back and 1 point. Okay, three ways to walk in as believers: legalism, license, or liberty. Of course, it's liberty. Liberty. Absolutely. Freedom. Freedom and liberty. Well, apart from the fact it doesn't begin with L. So I think we're fundamentally missing the point on this one, perhaps. So no, you can't. No, simply on the basis that it begins with F rather than L. Had you put freedom down for the previous question? Great. But no, not this one. It has to be liberty. I'm sorry. I realize that quizzes can be quite contentious sometimes, but what I say goes, okay? Just whether it's right or wrong. So just. However, it does say it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And as George mentioned, it's not some middle ground. It's not that we've got legalism, which is obeying the law on one side, and license on the other, which is like, oh, it doesn't matter what I do. I can do anything I like. And somewhere in the middle is liberty. It's not like that. This is a completely different way. It's not a middle ground. It is true freedom. I love George's quote. It's not true freedom. It's not the right to do what you want, but the power to do what you ought. I love this whole sense of when we become Christians, control is handed over to us. We're not puppets. We are given over to us. We are empowered by God's Spirit. And we're still constrained internally, but God has done something in us. There we are. Okay, liberty is. Number 10, do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. What does Paul here mean by the flesh? The sinful nature, the fallen sinful nature. As it talks about in there, it talks about the acts of the sinful nature. Very true. Human nature, yes, I think so. We're looking at, yes, what was that? It's human nature, sinful nature, fallen sinful nature. If you've got that, human nature doesn't mention sin, but I'm going to give you that because it's nice and I'm Christmas. It's Christmas. Anybody arguing? Nope, good. Okay, right, number 11. What does Paul contrast with gratifying the desires of the flesh? Walking in the Spirit. Living by or walking in the Spirit. Yes, it's the whole sense of living or walking in the Spirit. It's a contrast. So he says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh or of the sinful nature. And I love what George was talking about. I think he mentioned, you know, what Paul mentions there is the acts of the flesh, things that we do. And he lists a whole bunch of things that are acts of the flesh. But he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And whether we indulge in the acts of the flesh, or even if we try not to indulge, it's something that we do. But the fruit of the Spirit is something that God does in us when we walk in the Spirit. And that whole sense of the fruit of the Spirit, when we are resting, abiding, walking and following Christ, that God starts to do something in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit grows. Okay, number 12. We are here to do good to all people, but especially to whom? Those who belong to the family of believers. And I love Liberty Church. I love the good that we see that's happening amongst us. And although, as I said, when I preach this, the whole sense is, you know, we feel like we should... It's out there and to the right, George. Just... the household of faith. Oh, what do you reckon? The household of, you put the household of faith. Okay, so you want a point for that? You think that's worthy of a point? Well, wait a minute. What's the official version of Liberty Church? No. You can... If you put it in the original Greek, you can give yourself a point as well. I'm not sure what that would be. Household of faith, family of believers. Yes, it's the whole sense of doing good to each other. And this place would be a place of goodness. The gathering of God's people would be from goodness. And it's from that goodness that we give to the wider world. But let it be. And I love that about Liberty Church. So principles of sowing and reaping. You can choose what you do, but you can't choose what you do. What's the first? But you can't choose what you... Very good. Yeah. You can choose what you sow, but you can't choose what you reap. The whole sense of we can sow good stuff in our lives, towards others, towards ourselves. We can do good. We can sow good stuff. That's our choice. We can sow bad stuff. That's your choice. That's all. The Holy Spirit, God has given us control of our lives to make choices, good or bad. We choose what we sow. But having done that, we don't choose what we reap. Now, God is gracious, and we often don't get... reap what we have sown. I realize that because God is gracious, but we can't choose that. There are consequences to what we sow. So, and the last one, what did I die to when I placed my faith in Christ? I heard it over there. What was that? Yes! Sin! I died to sin! When I place my... Am I right, George? Am I okay with that? Good. Just making sure we're absolutely right. And I died to sin. So often we talk about dying to self. Now, we talk about dying to self. Now, if by that we mean surrender of our lives to God, and that could be an ongoing thing. Now, I know that every morning I say, God, this is your life, my life for your glory. And sometimes we say that's dying to self or whatever. But the whole biblical principle is that we died to sin when you come to Christ. It's done. It's dealt with. We don't do it again and again and again. You are a new creation. George gives a great illustration of the slave master that holds us as slaves as sin. Slaves to sin, we are held as slaves. Holy Spirit comes along. What does he do? Smashes the slave master? No, he kills the slaves. We die, and then he breathes new life into us, and we stand, and we are free from the slave master. But now we are in Christ. We are raised to new life. We are a new creation. And that wonderful verse that Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We died with Christ. We rose with Christ. We are in Christ. We are set free. Praise God! What a great message! I hope that the whole message of Galatians has just been, I've just found it, as I say, so empowering. And I've read Galatians so many times, but things that had never quite clicked have started to click for me. I hope that's been the case for you. This last week, I spent listening to not all the sermons, but majority of them, going over them again. I thought, oh, there's such good stuff here. And if you get the opportunity, maybe even just to go through some of the sermons that we've had, or all of the sermons. So there's great stuff in there. Life-giving stuff, literally life-giving stuff. However, you want to know who's won, don't we? Enough of that. I think there should be 15 points total, because you can give yourself two for question for sowing and reaping, okay? You can give yourself one. I'm just going to be like that, okay? So you give yourself an extra one if you've got sowing and reaping. We're going to start. Hands up if you've got more than one. Hands up if you've got more than two. Keep your hands up. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Ooh. Christine, we've got how many separate groups have we got? I've got 15. George, you don't count. I'm sorry, you can't switch off. Who else got 15? Okay, one over there. Okay, I'm going to give you a tiebreaker. Well done. I mean, that's very good. Clap, round of applause for everybody who got 15. But I'm going to give you a tiebreaker this morning, okay? And the tiebreaker is for those, and it's the first person to shout this out, and I'll take the first person to shout it out, okay? There's another book in the Bible, which is... Yes, there is another book. There is another book in the Bible. Thank you. But it's not the right answer, but thank you. Wait a minute! I'm going to say this quickly. It can be seen as an expanded view. Was that? Yes. Okay, Richard. Well done. An expanded view of what the message of Galatians is. So there we are. Well done, Richard. Well done. It's the book of Romans. Those who got 15, there'll be more chocolates available. There will be on the table at the end. So please help yourself to the chocolates at the end. There will be more. Well done, everybody. That was good. I hope that was useful. It's kind of a little bit of festive Galatians fun.